God. Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my great blessing to worship Him today in the ministry of the Word, to bring precious truth, helpful thoughts to you, dear friend. It is my blessing to also meet with you in fellowship, dear Christian listener, at this time, and to proclaim good news to all, that the Lord God omnipotent, the one true and living God, rules all things, and He rules all things from His heart of goodness, love, mercy, grace, compassion, patience, and kindness. God rules everything. He rules all of our lives. He gives life and breath to us. He feeds us. He showers His mercy and care upon us. And remarkably, in His greatest expression of love, He proclaims the good news that His Son has died for our evil, for our sins, and that if we come to Him in peace, trusting His precious word, His promise to us, trusting His Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, buried, and rose again from death, who died in His blood to save sinners, eternal forgiveness of sins, the pardon of all of our sin, and that we shall live forever. Our death sentence shall be pardoned. We shall live in Jesus Christ for God's eternal glory and in absolute happiness in His presence forever and ever. The good news, the Lord God omnipotent reigns, is seen in this issue of climate change. And I believe this truth is of great encouragement and help, a source of great hope for us in these days when many on the planet are experiencing adverse effects from climate change, as there is a higher temperature. That's pretty much undisputed these days. And in these distressful times, we are helped by the Spirit of God to remember God's great and holy character, His nature, and His will to bless and help all of us in His mercy and to save His people. His desire that none perish, but that all should be saved and live for His glory. Praise the Lord. Friends, I'm a missionary. Our mission is called Mission Africa. You can learn more about that at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Today our text is found in Job chapter 38, and particularly in verses 34 through 38, which read in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together?" Glory to God. May God add His blessings to His word. Friends, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, living God, for your precious word found in Job here, that you alone, God, can do that which we can never do. You bring the rain and the lightnings to their appointed place. You have put wisdom in man's mind that you have created. You give understanding to the heart of men that you have created. You alone can number all the clouds that exist by your will. And you alone pour out the heavens, the waters upon the dust. O God, you alone are the living God. We worship you, Jesus Christ, our King, Father, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that once again you'll bless the Word of God to our hearts today, the teaching today. We pray for your mercy for those in Uganda who are experiencing distress due to climate change, higher temperatures, the rising of Lake Victoria, flooding in certain areas, drought in other areas. And we trust you in this. Great God of mercy, how precious is your truth to us. Have your glory in this sermon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, continuing in this sermon on climate change, we've been making the point that God controls the climate, not man. And though man can affect the climate, man can surely bring effects, even adverse effects, upon animal life, plant life, upon the oceans, the mountains, lands. In pollution, for instance, man's greenhouse emissions from our fossil fuel vehicles affect the environment. We're not disputing that fact, and we're not disputing the fact that there is a 1.3 Fahrenheit change in temperature, that's 0.8 degrees centigrade, an increase in global temperature. Yet nevertheless, we know that our needed answers regarding this issue of climate change must first of all be found and based upon God and His precious truth. We cannot arrive at rightful answers regarding these issues if we deny God and His existence, His precious truth, because God deals with such issues, as we find here in Job chapter 38, in His Word. These verses communicate to us, as we've seen in other verses, that God is the sovereign, that God has promised that life will continue on planet Earth as we know it, that God gives rain and withholds rain. God controls the lightnings and abundance of water, we might say flooding. God controls the winds, whether there are hurricanes or typhoons or whether there is a gentle breeze. We see in Job 38:2 that God, answering Job and asking Job key pointed questions with the intent of leading Job to see that Job does not know or understand that which God alone knows or understands about the climate. In verses 22 through 24, have you, Job, let me add, entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused or divided, or the east wind scattered over the earth? In these verses, we see that Job is questioned by the Lord, by God, to see if he knows where God stores up the treasure of snow and hail. In other words, does Job have the knowledge of where snow and hail, which God will cause to come, exists? Does Job know how light is diffused? In a sense, asking, can you cause light to be diffused or bring the east wind to scatter over the earth? The east wind, biblically, was a drying, hot wind from the desert. And we see God's absolute control in his questions to Job about the climate in verses 25 through 30. Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives its birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. In this again, God is declaring his absolute sovereignty over these aspects of creation, life on planet Earth, these aspects of the climate. It is God who controls the overflowing water, causing the thunderbolts to travel in their God-appointed, God-made paths. God causes the rain to fall in the wilderness where no man sees it, to satisfy the desolate waste, to cause the tender grass to grow there. God asks, in a sense, who is the father of the rain? And who is the mother of the ice, that is the snow, the hail that will fall? When God hardens the waters like a stone, and the very surface of the ocean the deep is frozen like a stone. Of course, the answer is God is the Father. God is the source of the rain and the snow. God, in this asking of Job these questions, is clearly communicating that Job does not know or understand what God alone knows and understands, that these great and wondrous works of God, God's dispatching of the clouds, for instance, and his causing the light of the clouds to shine, the balancing of the clouds, God sending the heat, the south wind, and God's act of spreading out the skies and making the sky in its certainty to be as strong as a cast metal mirror. These great and wondrous works is given by God. He declares it is the breath of God by which ice is given and the broad waters are frozen, and that the clouds swirl about by his guidance. They do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth, and that he sends these weather conditions. They come whether for correction or for the land or for mercy. Sometimes as a judgment, severe weather comes. Sometimes it comes as maintenance for the land. Sometimes it comes as a great mercy when there is such needed weather conditions. God declares that he does great things which we men cannot comprehend. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. And he seals the hand of every man. In other words, men cannot do these things. Men go about their work, the beasts go into their dens and remain in their lairs, and from the chamber of the south God sends the whirlwind and the cold from the scattering winds of the north. Praise the Lord, God alone has this knowledge. God alone has this ability. God makes this point very clear to Job in his questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who shut in the sea with doors? In other words, fixed the limits for the oceans, for the seas. Who commands the morning? Who commands the day to exist? This day, tomorrow, the next days, the week ahead, the months ahead, the years ahead, the decades ahead, the millennia ahead, if God wills. Who commands? Who causes this to exist? Who causes the dawn to know its place? Who can enter the springs of the sea, the source of the ocean, the depths of the ocean, if you will? Where is the way to the dwelling of light and darkness? What man can direct himself to the essence of the light, the source of light or darkness? Who creates such things? Who can direct his way there? Only, praise God, the Lord God Almighty. Amazingly and wonderfully, God asks Job if he can bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion or bring Maseroth in its season or guide the great bear, Arcturus, constellations in the heavens. Does Job know the ordinances of the heavens or the dominions of the earth? Can Job cause the lion to hunt and to satisfy the appetite of the young lions by its kill? Can Job provide the food for the ravens, to the young ravens who cry out to God and they wander about for lack of food? And the answer obviously is Job cannot, and no man can do these things. Only God can do these things. Only God controls the climate, dear friend. And God controls the climate, controls all conditions on planet Earth, bringing distress or relative times of ease and lack of stress and distress as he will. And we must remember and know this as we deal with these issues of climate change. I share more thoughts with you today by Dr. Alan White in an article entitled What Scientists Ignore About Climate Change. And his helpful thoughts are that we cannot understand the climate change issues unless we ground our perspective in God's Word. He writes, most stories lay the blame for climate change squarely on us humans, particularly on carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas produced by our burning coal, oil, or natural gas. In their zeal to protect the environment, however, few activists stop to question the data that supposedly links human activity to a rise in global temperatures, or to a rise in the frequency and intensity of extreme weather events. Even fewer have taken the time to consider how proposed restrictions on fossil fuels could make life more difficult, especially for the poor. To be sure, a dramatic increase in global temperatures and extreme weather events, drought, fires, hurricanes, floods, and the like, would be devastating for life on planet Earth, causing loss of human life, property, and crops. But before we join the stampede to restructure how the world generates energy, Christians need to weigh factors that secular experts often overlook because they don't share our biblical worldview. He makes the point that God has a plan and a purpose for the earth, that God cares deeply about the earth and its climate. The earth is actually mentioned in the Bible's very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. God had a plan and a purpose for the earth long before he created anything, but he placed mankind at the center of his plan, Acts 17, verses 24 through 27. While the earth and its climate are important, human beings made in his own image are of much greater importance to God. The earth was created to be a safe home for human beings and a place where we could share with God the responsibility of caring for the earth, Genesis 1:27 through 28. But God didn't create everything and then go on vacation. He is actively holding his creation together all the time, Colossians 1 verses 16 through 17. And as we saw before in Genesis 8:22, God promised the earth would remain habitable until the end of time. So before we begin weighing the complexities of what might cause global warming or extreme weather events, we must first recognize several fundamental truths. God's supernatural creation of the earth and those created in his image, his promise that the earth will remain habitable, and his intention to fulfill his higher purposes. He notes that according to the secular no-God story, that the earth somehow was formed about 4.5 billion years ago as a molten mass, and it cooled over about 200 million years. He notes that secular scientists struggle to explain the source of water in the earth's life-giving oceans, since it could not have been there in the beginning, according to their view. But that in contrast, God's word says the earth was covered with water from creation, and that the water obeyed God's commands. He notes that the prophet Isaiah describes the water cycle beautifully in Isaiah 55 verses 10 through 11, and that the water cycle explains much of how our climate works, but we still don't understand many details even today. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable, for he draws up the drops of water. They distill his mist in rain, which the skies pour down and drop on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion? White notes that the naturally occurring water vapor in the atmosphere has a much greater greenhouse gas effect than CO2 from our cars and factories, and that in these complex systems, the climate is miraculously stable given that the earth is surrounded by cold, empty space. He asks the question, what is man's responsibility in light of these truths? And that we should evaluate facts from a biblical perspective. If we find that our actions are truly detrimental to the earth and particularly to its inhabitants, we should change what we are doing. He asks the question, should we be concerned about the rise in temperatures today? He notes that because CO2 and temperature have been rising together for quite a while, that we can't automatically prove that one caused the other. That's the great challenge in scientific research, to determine what are the true causes of the changes we observe. Is CO2 the predominant cause of the current change in the climate? His answer is that this is not an easy answer because we have so much more to learn about the many factors influencing our climate. In asking the question, what about extreme weather events? He cites as an example the correlation of the increase in hurricanes in the Atlantic over the last 100 years and the Earth's temperature, and finds that researchers completed a long-term analysis and found no significant correlation between the increase in hurricanes in the Atlantic and the Earth's rise in temperature. The authors concluded, in short, the historical Atlantic hurricane frequency record does not provide compelling evidence for a substantial greenhouse warming-induced long-term increase, and that the correlation between human activity and extreme weather events seems to be much more tenuous than the correlation between human activity and higher global temperatures. He notes that there is a political aspect to this whole question of climate change, and that the underlying issues are moral and political and not really scientific in many ways, and not primarily scientific. He notes that the secular view about climate change sees the Earth's climate to be uncontrolled and dangerous, and that humans are the only ones who can do anything about it, whereas from a biblical view, by contrast, God designed the earth and our climate, and he is actively sustaining creation. Though the temperature of the earth will fluctuate, the Creator has promised that the climate will remain suitable for human life until he creates a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. Finally, Alan White, who has a PhD in organic chemistry from Harvard University and is also an inventor, concludes, "Christians can be a voice of reason and hope to a frightened world. We should point people to the wisdom found in God's Word, which shows us how to tackle daily challenges as well as the eternal issues that matter most. Through it all, we can be confident that God will keep his promises. He always has. He always will." And let me conclude Alan White's thoughts with a big amen at this point. Our God is trustworthy, friend. As we've seen today in Job chapter 38, God controls. God controls all things. God controls the climate. God has ultimate wisdom in the preservation and maintenance of the climate, of every aspect of his creation. And we must not seek accurate conclusions to such a huge subject as climate change without understanding that God controls these things. And once again, the great importance of prayer, our responsibility to care adequately for the creation as God's stewards, and to pray that God will show his mercy in all of these things. I've been praying for several years now that God will show himself to be the one true and living God, the God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as he controls weather conditions to achieve his great purposes, and as he is seen to be the God of mercy who alone can control the climate. Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful that many people on the globe would come to see that God is God because he controls the climate, and he leads us and enables us to pray for his mercy for all people as he achieves his great purposes in controlling the climate. Ultimately and finally, God will have absolute glory from every person that he's ever created, and God will have his full glory in his creation as he renews the heavens and the earth. What a glorious state of existence that will be, to be glorified with Christ and to dwell in the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells with Christ, with the Father, with the Spirit, with the precious glorified saints of God in that great and eternal kingdom of love. God, hasten the day, bring it to pass quickly. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Finally, friends, we are encouraged to not be fearful regarding these issues of climate change. To fear man is a snare. To fear the consequences of man, I might add, is a snare. But let us fear God, God alone, and cry out to God, and see God's wondrous acting as he shows mercy and as he governs the very creation, the very climate about us. Glory to God. We end this sermon today with these thoughts for the glory of God from Job chapter 37, beginning in verse 19. Teach us what we should say to him, that's to God, for we can prepare nothing because of the darkness. Should he be told that I wish to speak? If a man were to speak, surely he would be swallowed up. Even now men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. He comes from the north as golden splendor. With God is awesome majesty. As for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and abundant justice. He does not oppress. Therefore men fear him. He shows no partiality to any who are wise of heart. In light of his awesome majesty and sovereignty, friend, let us pray to him. Thank you, Jesus. O God, our King, thank you, thank you for this hope and encouragement we have today that you rule all things, the very climate, and we are not to fear men or that which man can do. We are not to fear circumstances, but we are to trust you and serve you and know that in all that takes place, you are fulfilling your eternal decree, and that for the good of your true people. Jesus, our precious gift of knowing you, of having forgiveness of sins, of receiving from you eternal life through your precious gifts of faith and repentance, astounds us that you would love us in this way, to come and die for our sins, to rise again, to bring us to God, that we know you through your Spirit, through your precious truth. We are bound to you, the true and living, awesome, majestic God, forever, through faith in your name. How wonderful is your gift of salvation. How wonderful are your dealings and wondrous works. Thank you, God. Show us your mercy. We pray for mercy for those in trouble today because of climate change. And we pray again for humanity, that you will give us a true and right understanding of these issues, these scientific issues, that we will be true to do that which is needed, true to do that which is right in this respect, God, that we will not do that which is destructive, but will do what is right, knowing that you are God, our God, forever our God. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you and praise you, Master. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.